plenty of good stuff from the weekend. Four football games all had different levels of drama in them. In fact, they were all very entertaining and, like I said, dramatic. Starting, of course, with the comeback for Memphis, biggest comeback victory in school history against UCF, a game that just has some astonishing numbers that go along with it, especially for the losing team, the Knights, who had won 13 in a row against Memphis. Of course, the Navy-ECU game leads to Navy being still atop the conference at 3-0, with, believe it or not, a point differential of the season of minus 76. They edged the Pirates, whose quarterback was out, one of their top running backs was out, due to COVID concerns, and wait until you hear the losing head coach, Mike Houston, as proud of a losing team's head coach as you're probably going to hear. A proud and somewhat miffed. In fact, I had to edit an expletive put out there by Dana Holgorsen, but it was good, honest commentary after his Houston team had a 2-score lead late in the third quarter against BYU and ended up getting beat by the Cougars, who are still undefeated. And then going back to the first game of the weekend, again, this was the first one on Friday. It was thrilling. All sorts of things to get to. We'll certainly start off with the game that ended last, and that is Memphis 50, UCF 49. The Knights led in this game early in the third quarter, 35-14. Their starting quarterback, Dylan Gabriel, threw for more than 600 yards. He had three receivers with at least 170 yards of offense. It's almost impossible to make that statement and believe it's true, but Marlon Williams, Jalen Robinson, and Ryan O'Keefe all had between 173 yards and 191 yards receiving. And they still lost because, well, let's get to the details of the game. How in the heck does that happen? First of all, you got to have some long drives come up empty, right? Well, Memphis was actually the first in that line because they got down to the UCF 34, had a 29-yard run, but fumbled at the 5-yard line forced by Richie Grant. And then UCF went 80 yards, go figure. They score on a 1-yard run by Greg McCray. Memphis answers right back. It's 7 apiece. Then the first of those drives I mentioned where UCF goes long down the field but can't score, 71 yards actually in a tie game, went for it on 4th and goal from the 4. I guess Josh Heupel knew there'd be a lot of points in this game. Didn't work out. So it was just 7 all at the end of the first quarter because after that failure to score by UCF, the defense came up with the first of, get this, 3 straight stops. So their defense was actually doing some work at the beginning of the game, and the offense would answer on a 3rd and 9 with a touchdown pass from Dylan Gabriel to Robinson of 43 yards, so it's 14-7. Then the stop by the Knights and a quick 2-play drive, the second play getting all 85 yards on the drive. A touchdown pass to Marlon Williams, then a stop, but then UCF actually gets stopped and Memphis scores to within 20-14. And at this point, just 2 minutes left to go in the first half. UCF gets a key touchdown late, 27-14, and then they get the ball to start the second half, and they go with it. 11 plays, 75 yards for a touchdown, and that's the margin that Memphis had to come back from, 35-14. Key sequence of events next, though. First of all, the answer by the Tigers only faced 1/3 down, didn't get a completion, actually had 4th and 4 at the UCF 25. If they don't convert that 4th down, this game's over, folks. It's 35-14, as I mentioned. But they get the conversion and later on a touchdown. Decide to go for 2 after pulling to 35-20, and it worked out. They scored, so strangeness. But then I mentioned a key sequence here. Again, a long drive. 71 yards for the Knights comes up empty because they fumble inside the 5-yard line. And Memphis answers on the ensuing drive with a touchdown. Just like that, it's 35-29. Very, very costly turnover for the Knights, who then punt on their next drive, only to get the one and only stop they would have in the second half with a fumble forced on a 3rd and 10 from their 35. It knocked the Tigers back to where they had to punt. And on the very next play, a screen pass. You see 93-yard touchdown. You think it traveled in the air. It traveled about 5 yards in the air. And Ryan O'Keefe has some serious speed, sprints down the right sideline, and at that point it looked like UCF had kind of got its footing back. 43-29 was the score there. However, Memphis, 12 plays, 70 yards. They go for it on 4th and goal from the 3. Again, another 4th down play earlier in the drive, so they had 3 4th down plays that were very, very key, and they weren't done with it, by the way. Makes it 43-37. UCF again responds with the yard, 75 of them, and a touchdown, 49-37, and there are only 5.5 minutes left in this game. The Tigers need just 1:45 to go 6 plays and 84 yards. Kylan Watkins, 22-yard touchdown, it's 49-44. Then this is when UCF had to at least get one first down right. Couldn't do it. So Memphis has plenty of time, taken over at its own 15, though. It's certainly not a gimme with 2:38 left. Another fourth down conversion goes for 52 yards. That was the key play. You'll hear it first, then how the drive ended, then how UCF's chance to win it in response ended up.
Keep their hopes alive. Little shuffle pass, first down and then some. What a move. Washington still on his feet, hanging on to it. First and goal, Tigers. A great play call by Kevin Johns. Third down and goal for Memphis. Austin in motion. Into the end zone. Caught. Touchdown, Austin. 1:08 to go. The Tigers with the lead. A 40-yarder. Daniel Obarski for the lead. And he missed it to the left.
What a game on ABC. And slightly out of breath, the head coach of the Tigers, Ryan Silverfield.
Try to catch my breath. I'm a little out of shape, but let's say this. I'm so proud of the way our kids fought. Largest comeback in school history. Just proud. I don't know what else to say. Our kids showed a lot of heart. We've had so much adversity and so many ups and downs of this all season and even during this season. And to do what our young men did today, it's been 30 years since we beat UCF. Last 13 games, it's nice to be on the right side of that win column. Again, it was a full team effort, right? Our defense got that final stop, forced a missed kick, all those things. Obviously proud of the offense performance, especially in the second half. I was walking up and down the sideline. I saw some heads down, and I didn't like that. And I told our guys, we got to keep believing. It's the way we won. If I'd be lying if I said this game wasn't important, if it didn't mean something in the history of this program and what we've occurred, obviously, as you guys know, as a grad assistant there at UCF. But for our young men, that know that I told them what occurred on that field tonight will carry over for the rest of their lives, not only because of the opponent we beat, and they're a hell of a team. Obviously, they gave us everything we could handle and more. But fighting through adversity, never giving up, that will carry a long way. And those lessons are just as important as coming away with beating UCF. But I'm honored, obviously. So many great coaches came before me here at this program. I just hope it's one of many.
And when they announced the Players of the Week on Monday, the conference did the smart thing, gave both quarterbacks shared honors. How does Dylan Gabriel, and this is again why sometimes I cringe when I hear the word losing effort, 35 of 49 for a conference record, 601 yards and 5 touchdowns. Adding 49 on the ground, by the way, in another TD is not a quote-unquote losing effort. That would be like calling Quentin Flowers' effort against the Knights in that classic a losing effort. Meanwhile, Brady White wasn't merely the Walter Camp National Offensive Player of the Year because he went 34-50 for 486 yards and 6 touchdowns. Calvin Austin, by the way, led the way, 9 catches, 151 yards, and 2 scores. On the other side, Josh Heupel.
End of the day, we're on the wrong side of it in the one play that makes a difference. You know, everybody that's on this travel squad, and coaches included, got to be on the right side of that one play that makes a difference, and we have to be better. Leading up to this week, we talked about just, you know, challenging our players and having a fighter's mentality and answering the bell every round. The ball didn't always go our way. You know, there's a lot of things that we got to do better, but our kids did answer and they fought and they competed. And I think, you know, that is important, that they understand that they did that coming out of this. This moment can either define who we are moving forward, or we can define this moment moving forward.
And they will move forward to host Tulane this week, while Memphis will be hosting Temple. Should be an interesting one there. So the game previous to that, it was Navy over ECU 27-23. Game was tied at halftime, and before that was even bigger drama as we learned that Holt Naylor's the starting quarterback, along with Darius Pinnix, one of their running backs, would be out. Well, all ECU did was run the ball extremely well against Navy, but they got stopped twice around midfield in the third quarter after it was tied at half, and Navy got 2 touchdowns in that third quarter, including one on the very last play of the third, just like they did In their previous week, they leaned heavily on the fullbacks. Second week in a row, Nelson Smith broke his own mark, 17 carries, 157 yards. And Jamal Carruthers, another fullback, had 18 carries for 84 yards. Smith with two touchdowns, Carruthers with one. Rajay Harris, meanwhile, the freshman for ECU, ran for 173. They had to go with Mason Garcia at starting quarterback, a freshman, more of a runner, just 10 of 20 through the air for only 104 yards and no scores, but he did run for 81 yards and a touchdown. In the end, though, the Pirates still had a chance. They got a stop on defense, but they had to go too far down the field, needing to get a touchdown, down 27-23. And a very, as I said, proud head coach Mike Houston coming up for the Pirates. But first, the winning coach, Ken Niumatalolo.
Super proud of our team to come on the road, get a hard-fought win. Just proud of our guys. I thought the defense played awesome today. You know, gave us a chance when we were struggling on offense to move the ball. We came with some big stops. You know, give ECU credit. Good football team. Just proud of where we're at. You know what I mean? To be 3-0 in our conference. And we still got a lot of improvement. You know what I mean? But just excited to come out of here at W. You know, just super excited to come out of here with the W.
The adversity that they've had all week this week and the effort that they gave today and the way they compete, the way they care about each other, the way they trust us as coaches. It's been so hard to get to this point. But this team is going to get better every single week. We got a lot of season left. And I just, you know, my hat's off to Navy. I mean, they played a phenomenal game, did what they had to do to win the game. And I'm just really, really proud of the kids and the way they fought and pretty special effort out there today. You guys know the history of this series more than I do. But last year, and I don't want to get into too much because I want to focus on today, but that was the most humiliating loss of my career. And this team, the way they responded this week and the way they continue to respond every week, it's what we're trying to do. I'm very proud of that group.
Telling you, that was something. 27-23 again, the final score. So Navy at 3-0 with that old minus 76 point differential has a very interesting one at 3:30 this Saturday on CBS Sports Network hosting Houston, which is still undefeated in the conference at 1-0, but 1-1 overall. And they played pretty darn well for the bulk of this game, well, for 2 2/3 of it, but they couldn't finish. And BYU punished them with a 22-0 fourth quarter and a 29-0 basically closing run to the game. Houston had a 16-play, 98-yard drive that took up about 7 minutes and put them ahead 26-14 with 3 minutes to go in the third, but they couldn't do anything the rest of the way. BYU made that margin a little misleading with a late touchdown after a turnover on downs where you wouldn't go for it at your own 17. But at that point, BYU had a 10-point lead and had really earned the victory. And you'll hear Dana Holgorsen give them credit, but also discredit, well, the officials, and is not down on his team overall.
Oh, it's a combination of mistakes. And when the game gets tight, I mean, you know, it's just, you know, good teams step up and make things happen. And, you know, we're still trying to figure some of that stuff out. We're gonna keep getting better. You know, we did a lot of good things. It's just when the game got tight in the fourth quarter, I mean, they whipped us. You know, they elevated their game and we didn't. We had a hard time blocking them. We had a hard time tackling them. And, you know, they made plays and we had guys that didn't. So, you know, I give BYU a lot of credit. I'm not down on our football team right now. This was a bonus game. I mean, our goal is to win the conference and focus on the conference. This is not a conference opponent. We ironically had to deal with Big 12 refs, which is irritating as we just didn't have what it took to be able to get things done down the stretch. They did. You know, they're 5-0. They're 13th in the country. You know, like I said, they're a good football team. Coach Satake is a good dude and a good football coach, and those guys are a good football team. And we got a lot of work to do to be able to get to the point where we can say that about our team.
And that first game of Friday was a thriller as well. SMU kind of having things go their way. They won another tight one, but they're 5-0 overall after topping Tulane in overtime. Did a lot of things that you don't do when you win, according to Sonny Dykes, their head coach, like give up a 3rd-and-39 conversion to Lane. Went ahead 31-27 in the fourth. Mustangs answered. Tulane had a chance late in regulation for a winning touchdown. Had to settle for a field goal. Got picked in the OT, and SMU kicks the field goal. But here's one thing SMU did do. the four Tulane touchdowns, SMU scored its four touchdowns on the ensuing possession, so they answered back every time host Tulane had a score. We'll give you more on the conference with some basketball on Wednesday's show, but that's going to do it for the Monday version of Around the American. Thanks for listening. I'm Derek Sharp.